This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
For many of us, getting a stash of small bills is part of the pre-trip planning routine, since we will be tipping all the various helpers that we encounter on our travels. However, tipping is not universal. Your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, has some tips and advice on how to handle gratuity with grace, no matter where your solo travels may take you. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. How much, to whom, where, when to say, keep the change, and more on this episode of Solo Travel Talk. Astrid, I wanted to start off the show by saying we got this idea for this show from a super listener, Valerie, who sent a lovely email.
Yes, thank you, Valerie.
It was great. It was a very good idea, and I loved it right away because I thought this is an issue that I personally encountered, and I know a lot of people kind of feel a little bit nervous about.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, Valerie, I hope you're tuning in.
Yeah, I'm sure she is. Astrid, the topic of tipping sometimes does make people feel uncomfortable because it seems like there's a lot of opportunity to cause offense or otherwise sort of commit a little bit of a faux pas. So get us started here. How do you plan for tipping in terms of your own travel?
Okay, Catherine. I mean, I really have to confess or admit that even though I've been traveling solo now for over 45 years, tipping properly is still a challenge for me. It really is. There are over 196 countries now in the world, and really each have different tipping practices. The basic tips are gratuity. It's really how you kind of think of this. It's not really totally about money, but it's a part of a country's social custom or etiquette. That's really how you should think about it. Some countries feel like it's insulting or rude to tip. Other countries, they really appreciate anything that you give them. In other countries, it's mandated. If you don't tip, they'll come running after you. And the only way you can find out the proper tipping etiquette is to do some pre-trip research. And one of the best sources is Wikipedia. All you do is Google gratuity, and they've got great information. They go into the history of tipping and cultural etiquette and everything. And then they break it down to all the various countries all over the world and what their tipping norms are. So that's a great overall research.
I did not think you were going to say Wikipedia. That surprised me, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, Wikipedia on this one. Well, you know, you can just Google tipping in France or tipping practices in Spain or whatever. And that's really what I suggest you do. Condé Nast, CN Traveler, they have a really good blog or article about tipping that has a big infographic that shows you in a big picture all the different countries or most of the countries that are highly traveled to and what their tipping percentages and customs are. So that's another thing. But basically, you need to just go and Google or get you a good guidebook that's up to date and see what the tipping customs are before you leave, okay? Yeah. Then the second thing you need to do to plan for tipping is you need to put it in your pre-trip budget. You need to really think about how much am I going to spend on my tips. And the way I estimate it, because it's really an estimate, is I estimate what I'm going to be spending or allocating for food and beverage. Then I take what's the customary percentage, whether it's 10%, 15%, or 20%, add it to that. That's a hard number or a hard estimate. Then you've got all of the smaller tips, like for your porters and maybe the doorman or the restroom attendant in their little tray. I mean, you have a lot of little kind of things. So you want to estimate that. Once you get that figure, you add the two together, and voila, that is basically what you should estimate that you'll spend on tips. That is my simple way that I plan for the tipping. But as a general rule, I really kind of keep, for every trip I go to, $500 worth of cash. Not all of it that I use for tipping, but it's kind of like my emergency fund or my cash reserve that I have with me. And I take my cash tips from there. So when I get to the airport, I usually, my first thing that I do once I get my luggage is I go to the money changer or the ATM and get $250 in their currency and in small bills. That's what you want. You don't want to get some big bills. You want a lot of little small bills. So that's basically my first things that I do in terms of tips. So to answer your question, how do I plan for tipping? I do the pre-trip research about the tipping customs. I do the simple math calculations to determine how much I should allocate for the trip in my trip's budget. And that's how I figure it.
I do feel reassured, and I hope our listeners do too, that even with 40 years of experience, tipping is still an issue that you have to deal with. So we're not out of the ballpark here that we have to think about it.
I'm always a little insecure. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, did I leave enough? Or sometimes, that was way too much. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's horrible. Yeah. It's so horrible. Yeah. And I'm always looking for how that they're responding.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes I get a shock. Sometimes I get like, it wasn't enough. And then when you get that, do you want some more?
Yeah.
I mean, I have my practices. I have, I'd say, 90% confidence in it. But I don't have 100%.
So we're all going to go into this together. We're going to gain our confidence and really go forward here. Okay. Well, so let's start with geography. And obviously, we can't cover every place in the world. But what are some of the geographical areas that famously do not expect tips? And where are some of the common places where tips are expected? And how do we determine if a place that we're visiting is a tipping place or not?
Okay. Well, being an American, it's very hard for us to understand or believe that there are countries where you do not tip.
Yeah.
Because we're raised to tip, you know. I mean, it's just part of eating out. Well, basically, the do not tip countries come into two different categories, and you need to think about it like this. First, the countries where it's culturally unacceptable to tip. And then those countries where the tip is added into the bill as a service charge. So those are the two types of countries, basically, you do not tip in. Okay, so some of the specific countries that culturally are a do not tip countries. Number one, the biggest one, Japan. Do not tip in Japan. It is considered rude. And the service personnel will really refuse it. I mean, I've read things like they will run out when they've seen you left a tip and they'll give it back to you. It is such an insulting kind of thing to happen in Japan. So know that, because they believe you're an honored guest. You're like family or friends. And they would never think to ask a family member or a friend to pay for something. Good service to them is a part of life. It's a joy. So if you tip, that is an insult. It's demeaning to them. So do not tip in Japan. Other countries that have this are basically Nepal, South Korea, Georgia, Iceland, China. Now, China, I have to give you a little bit of a caveat, because this is outside the big cities. In the big cities, in the Western hotels and some of the frequented tourist restaurants, it's changing. They're expecting something. Hong Kong, though, still. Then Indonesia, Australia, which was shocking to me. I've never been to Australia. Iran. Now, Iran doesn't want you to tip, but if you leave something like a little gift or a token, I can't think of anything off the top of my hand, but something little that's like a favor, they like that, but not money. Mongolia and Kazakhstan. So those are kind of the first do not tip, because it's culturally a no-no. Then you've got the countries, like I said, that are unnecessary to tip because the service charge is in the bill. So you're just blowing more money. You're thinking you need to tip them. Well, it's already in your bill. So these countries are like Italy. You'll see in the bill, servizio, that's the service. And even in Italy, which will shock you, they have a pane coperto. in some establishments, which is basically a cover charge. You have to pay to even walk in. Now, it's banned in Rome, but it's all over Italy. So when you see that, you just pay it, and it's just part of the experience. Then you've got a place like India. Now, it's complicated here because there are really no set rules. Some of the establishments have service charges, and some, it's really up to the customer. So if you get bad service or if you're stingy, don't leave them a tip. That's kind of the way it is in Italy. But the other no-tip countries that have service charges or typically service charges are in the bill are Switzerland, Belgium, Brazil, Denmark, Estonia, New Zealand, Malaysia, Slovenia, France, Spain, Macedonia, Norway, Netherlands. Now, I have to say, this is not a complete list, but it shows that it's very hard or really impossible to know the tipping norms by geographical areas. In some of these countries, the service personnel expect the 10% or the bill to be rounded up if there's no service charge included. So you don't totally know, but if the service charge is in there, and in some of these countries, if you really have liked the service, like in France or Spain, round the bill up. Just round it up. If it's $50.20, round it up to $51 or $55. That's okay. So what to do? You just have to know before you go. You just really do. Next, the typical countries that expect you to round up the bill, even when there's a service charge included. Like I said, France, Hungary, Greece, Latvia, Sweden, the UK, Portugal, Germany, Czech Republic, Bosnia. How do you know when to round up one to not? I mean, that's why you got to do this research, because you really don't know. And so if you leave and you had great service and the service charge was in there, and the waiter looks at you like, God, I put on a show for you. I sang to you. I did, and you don't even round up the bill. They won't say it to you, but you'll get that kind of, I've experienced it more than I want to admit. And I'm a big believer in tips, but I don't want to be taken advantage of, basically, or do something that's stupid. Okay, now here are the countries that are expected to tip. First big one is the United States. Hey. And they expect the largest tips. And it's anywhere from 15 to 25% now. And the nicer the restaurants, the bigger the tip. Then you've got Colombia, Slovakia, and Estonia. Their tipping range is between 5 and 10%. Next is Cuba, Uruguay, and Bulgaria, 10%, as well as Turkey. Now, Turkey, they have a word called bakshish, and this is basically the 10% tip. But if there is service dahil included, that means it's already in there. Hmm. But they expect to get 10% one way or the other, whether it's in there or not. Okay, then you've got Serbia, Canada, Mexico, Chile, Poland, Ukraine, Armenia. They like anywhere from 10 to 15%. As well as the Middle East, like Israel, the United Arab Emirates. Now, the United Arab Emirates sometimes has a maitre d' fee in there, a tourist fee, and a service fee. Oh, yeah, it can get really high, but you just pay it. But they expect minimum 10 to 15%, but there are other things can be slipped into the bill. So when you see it, you can't argue about it. You just pay it, as well as Egypt. So frustrated yet? So, yes, there's really no way to know by geographical area what to do when determining a tip amount. So to overwhelm you, or really, I'm just kidding. To help you, I'm going to share some of the general tipping tips. And there are 10 of them that it will help you kind of get a sense of grounding about the whole thing. And so if you familiarize yourself with these basic practices, it'll help you a whole lot. First of all, when in doubt in countries that accept tips, 10%, especially if there's no service charge in the bill. 10% is okay. It's not great, but it's okay. And this is in countries that accept tips. Number two, tip in the local currency. Don't give them euros or dollars when you're in Cambodia or wherever. Number three, the more upscale the establishment, the bigger the tip. And that just comes with enjoying a place like that. Number four, where there is a service charge, if you still want to leave a little something extra because the service really was good, round up the bill. This is like places in Spain, Italy, Scandinavia, Morocco, South America. That is considered well-mannered and very much appreciated. Number five, best to pay tips in cash and make sure that the server gets it. If you put it on your bill and the credit card, some of the places don't even take it in credit cards. But if you put it on the bill as a tip and pay credit card, the server won't get it a lot of times. There's no guarantee for them to get it, okay? So pay the tips in cash and make sure that the server gets it. Then if you are tipping in cash, be discreet, because there are lots of places where, money being given. So if you want to give the bartender something, slip it in his pocket or shake the server's hand and you have your bills fold over. And just do it discreetly. Even some places use an envelope. It's better than to just pull out your wallet and give it to them. Okay. Then also, don't leave the money on the table. The server might not get it. Give it to him or her directly. Eight, when in doubt, ask the maitre d' or ask your concierge if you forgot to do it before you left. Don't ask the server or whoever's giving you the service because they might feel totally embarrassed or conflict of interest, or they might even get in trouble. So ask somebody who you feel comfortable in asking. And if not, just sit around and see what the locals are doing. That'll give you some clue. Okay, number nine. When you arrive at the airport of your destination, get that cash for the tips and make sure you get the small bills. So you're never faced with giving somebody a bigger bill and then you're wanting change and they're looking at you, huh? I don't have any change. And then you get in this thing and, it all goes downhill from there. So get those small bills. Then this is a cute one. And I love this one. I read this a long time ago, and I think it's something worth mentioning. Number 10, tip with $2 bills. Especially in Vietnam and the Asian world, they consider an American $2 bill is good luck. So if you want to do something extra special, tip in their cash and stick a $2 bill in there. Those are my general tips.
Wow. I had never heard that $2 bill one before.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Well, even in our culture, when you get a $2 bill, in fact, I have a $2 bill at all times in my wallet.
I did not know this. Wow. A little peek into your wallet there, too. That's great. Okay. Well, that was a good start of the geography. And you're right. It's difficult to cover the entire world, but that was a great overview. Now I want to turn to sort of the players. Who are some of the people that we tip? Of course, some of these might be known to all of us, but maybe you can focus on people that we might not think of right away.
Okay, well, let's just start with the standard people you should tip. And everybody probably knows this, but let me go over this list again. Of course, your waiters and your waitresses, your livery drivers, whether it's a limo driver, taxi driver, whoever takes you somewhere, porters, bellmen, the concierge. Now, sometimes people don't actually tip the concierge. But with a concierge, money talks. And I learned this from my husband. And he was a big international traveler 20 years ago. But when you tip the concierge, especially as a female solo traveler, a nice size tip the first time they help you, Oh my gosh, the whole hotel knows that there is this woman who is very nice, who's generous, who is well-mannered, and you get treated very specially in the hotels. I mean, I experienced this all over China, and I've experienced it really all over the world. And you will be able to get those hard-to-get reservations. Your theater tickets, your seats will be better. I mean, you tip that concierge a nice tip the first time you ask them to do something and then give them something every time. Oh, it will make a lot of difference in your trip. So make sure you tip the concierge. I consider it a standard person to tip. Then you've also got, of course, your bartenders. Some people don't tip the bartender unless it's actually in the bill. You know what I'm saying? No, but they don't. There's some that do. I mean, if they're sitting up at the bar and they're, you know, a regular person who likes to go to bars, they know to tip the bartender. But a lot of people who go into bars, especially internationally, if it's not in the bill, the bartender doesn't get a tip. But he should. He should. Because if it's okay to tip in that culture, don't overlook them. Tour guides. Now, most tour guides, if you're in a big tour that's a 10-day tour, say with a big company, they let you know in the brochures that you should tip the guides. But if you're just in Paris and you want to take a day trip to Versailles or whatever, and you have a tour guide, you need to tip them, as well as the bus drivers. The cruise personnel, if you're on a cruise ship, here again, it's in the brochures usually what the tips, but these people, this is part of their income. So this is really part of the cost of your trip, as well as the bathroom attendants who have those coin dishes. Don't use the restroom and not leave them something. I've seen people do that, and I hate it. I usually give an extra big tip then for them too, you know, because I know these people need the money. Okay, those are the standard people. Now, people who are commonly overlooked for tips but really should be receive tips is first and foremost the hotel housekeeping personnel who clean your room up. Now, I didn't used to do this, and I didn't really realize this until I went somewhere with a very refined lady. We were on a bridge tournament, and every day she was talking to the housekeeping, or when she didn't see him, she'd leave something in the room. And it was just so nice the way she did it, and I thought, you know, gosh, I'd never have thought about that, and I hate to admit that, but since her doing that, I don't know, 20-something years ago, I do leave tips for the people who clean your room. Lots of times, people don't think about this, and don't leave the tip at the front desk for them. You really should give it to them personally. Even if you leave it in the room, they might have to give it to the front desk because they don't know if you've left money there accidentally. You're going to call later and want the money back and all that kind of stuff. But that's important to think about them at least. Even if you don't do it every day, maybe one time or two times. Second person that's overlooked a lot is just those doormen. They hail you cabs. They open the doors for you. And they're not a concierge, but they always appreciate something. When you're leaving and getting ready to go to the airport, slip them a $20 bill or something if they've been extra nice to you. That's kind of the way I've evolved into a tipper. And I hate to say this. When I first started traveling, I was on the stingy side. I really was. I don't know. I guess it's just I valued money. And I thought, well, maybe it was they should be paid or whatever. I didn't really understand it was really part of the income. And it was something that it's like it's better to give than to receive. And my husband, I have to say, he is the first of the big time tippers. But he taught me a lot about tipping, that people do truly appreciate it. The ones that don't, they've got other problems going on. But it is a very nice thing to do. When it is culturally okay, and it's not already in the bill, 10, 15%. So these other people that are overlooked, and I have to say this again about my husband, especially what he considers the people that nobody would tip. He always tipped them. And I'll say, what are you doing that for? He just loved to do it. I said, you're not Santa Claus. He just wanted to do it. I think God or some spiritual thing in him just led him to do it. And I thought it was beautiful. It's a beautiful thing about him. Okay. Then the coat check personnel, where there's no charge. A lot of times they're doing this and people say, oh, they don't even think about it. But you should give them a little something. That'll make their day. Even if it's just a little bit, you never know. It might buy a toy for the grandkids or just something. Okay, those coffee baristas with tip jars. Don't leave out of a coffee place without giving them the change at least. I mean, really. Bus drivers, especially with those tour bus drivers, give them something. They really appreciate it. Valets. I know a lot of people who just get their car and they don't give valets anything. Yeah, you should do it, even if there's no charge for it. Give them something. Maitre d's. Now, this is one that I've never thought about. My husband probably has, and he probably did it, and I didn't realize it. But you should think about giving them, especially if they've sat you at a real good table and they've come up to your table and everything. It's something to consider. And then last, those local people who are posing with you for photos. And they seem to be more and more out and about these days. Be sure you give them something because they are really working for this, especially in the third world countries. Please do it. And really, anyone who is at your service that's done something extra for you or that helps you, these are people who you should tip. And I'm going to give you two tipping stories because both of these stories kind of show you the evolution of how I've evolved as a tipper. The first one, I remember when I was in Beijing. I spent a week in Beijing solo, and I stayed at the Fullerton Hotel. Well, it wasn't it was a historic hotel, but it was run by the Fullerton Group. English in nature, really a very fine historical hotel. And the first day I went to the hotel concierge and said I wanted a private guide and a driver to take me to the Beijing flea market, which is enormous. And there was no way I knew that I could get to this flea market or much less maneuver through it. I couldn't speak Chinese, can't read Chinese. I wouldn't know how to get a cab back. There's no way that I could go. But I really wanted to go to this enormous flea market that I'd heard so much about because they have all of these ethnic people that come in with these handmade goods and everything. And I wanted to go and experience it. So I knew I needed a personal guide and needed a driver that would be with. So I negotiated with the concierge. It was very affordable. And I got this wonderful guide and I ended up using her for 3 days. She was a single lady. She spoke 13 languages Whoa. Fluently. She grew up in the countryside of China. She was delightful, and we talked about everything. She told me her mother was the happiest person in the world. She said her mother could not read and could not write. She said that her mother woke up when the sun came up every day. She sang all during the day while she worked in the fields. She came home and she went to bed when the sun went down. And I was amazed that this woman who grew up in the country with an illiterate mother could speak 13 languages. She told me she lived in a governmental apartment complex and she shared a room with 8 different tour guides because they all have to be approved to deal with international tourists. And she told me basically about her life. She wasn't married. She hadn't found somebody that she was comfortable with. And she didn't have a lot of assets and this kind of thing. But I grew to love her. I thought she was so intelligent. She treated me just, I've never been treated this wonderfully. She held my hand up and down the stairs. She always would move the chair for me. I mean, she was so well-trained and so gracious that it was unbelievable. So at the end of the tour, we talked about a lot of things that I was surprised she was willing to talk about, but she wanted to know this and that about America and Americans and all kinds of stuff. And so we talked a lot. And I liked her so much, and I felt comfortable. I asked her how much of this money that she was going to be able to keep that I was paying for. And basically, she was only going to get about 25%, 30%. So I decided to tip her in cash. I think it was like $600. I just decided I was going to be so generous that it didn't matter, because I thought she was such a classy woman. I thought she was going to have a heart attack. She really did start crying, and I kind of started crying too. But I loved her that much, and I wanted to show her she was so special. And I just appreciated every second that I was with her. She made me understand China and what it was like to live in China and the beauty of China and the toughness of the Chinese people and how smart and how, oh, they have so much fire and drive and they're quiet, but don't push them. She taught me so much. There was something that just came over me. And even though, you know, you shouldn't do it, I did it anyway. And I told her, I said, look, don't tell anybody I'm giving this to you. I don't care. I want to give it to you. I love that. That's one of my tipping stories. My other tipping story is, well, this came a heartfelt, but in the end, it just really brought a lot of joy to me. This was something that happened to me in one of the few times where I've ever traveled where I was really kind of scared. And I'm not a scaredy cat, but I had failed to organize or get a livery service to pick me up at the airport when I traveled to Athens. And I arrived in Athens at about 4:15 in the morning. It was still dark. One of my rules is do not land in a foreign country at night and don't have a livery service pick you up at the airport, get your luggage, know your name, take you directly to the hotel, have it already paid for, organized. Don't just jump into a taxi in a foreign place. That's scary at nighttime for a solo traveler, I consider. So I never do that. Well, this time I didn't do it, but I think I thought, well, I get there at 4:15. The sun is going to be coming up at 5, 5:30. I'm going to have to go through customs, and I'm not going to worry about it. Oh, that was really stupid. So I get my bag, and I go to the taxi line, and I see this older man. And when I tell you he was older, he was old. He could barely see over the steering wheel. But I thought, oh, he's harmless. So I got in there. And I had the hotel name and address, and I gave him that. And he looked at me, and he started driving. He had a stick shift cab. And about 2 minutes out of the airport, he turned up the radio so loud. And he started driving so erratically. He shifted. He went fast. He was dancing to the music. It was horrible. We were not getting on an interstate. We were going through nowhere. I was going, what is going on? I thought, well, he must not be well. I've never been in a cab where the car is jerking all over and he's dancing. It's loud and he's older and he's getting coffee. And I mean, I'm telling you, I was really scared. I said, he might just throw me out in the middle of nowhere. And I don't know where I am. Something could happen to me. I was texting my husband. I was really like getting on the edge. You know, I started to say a few prayers. I really did. And then all of a sudden, we came into a warehouse district, and then the city appeared. And as the city appeared, something completely came over me. And it's really probably right after I said those prayers. This man was trying to make a living. This man was an older man. This is when Greece, their whole economy collapsed. Everybody was just desperate. I mean, real hard times. And something came over me and said, you know, he has got the dignity and the desire to make a living. He is out here in the middle of the night at his age, not totally well, earning a living. and it touched my heart. So when we finally arrived at the hotel, I was so nice to him. I thanked him so much for taking me. I gave him a $100 tip. I thought, I don't care. This gentleman, he wasn't giving up. And I could tell the struggle that the people in Athens, what paled through the city from that. But that's a tipping story. Mm. I mean, and when you're moved to do that, do it. Because the reason why I've told you this is I have come to believe that, I guess what you would say, real generous tipping at the right time really does foster good travel karma. So don't be a bad tipper. Be a correct tipper. And then if you want to be generous and it's appropriate, I think it gives you good travel karma.
We all could use a little extra travel karma. That's great, Astrid. Before we close out here, I kind of wanted to hit on one more thing. And you did give us the rule of thumb about rounding up as well as sort of the 10% standard. But can you give us any other maybe means to figure out how much we're supposed to be tipping in this situation beyond being spiritually moved to tip an amount?
I've already answered those questions early on the show, but I will close really by repeating a few tips to help you out, basically, when you get in a jam or you get that feeling, that insecure feeling, like, am I going to give too much or not enough or whatever. So the first one, this will be the third time I've said it, pre-trip research. Know the tipping etiquette for the places where you'll be traveling before you leave. If you forget to do it, ask the concierge. Just make a note of that in your to-do things that you have to do is know what the tipping customs are. Basically, in North, Central, and South America, the Western Hemisphere, 10% is safe. So if you're in the Western Hemisphere, just think 10%. Then, when you go east, countries that include service charges in the bill, round up if the service has been above average. That's pretty much okay everywhere. Where there's service charge in the bill, so the service is already taken care of. And the people that work at these establishments that have service charges, they're paid well. That's all part of their employment. But if you've really had a good experience, round up. And you round up the amount that you want to round it up. It could be to the nearest whole dollar or euro or whatever, or it could be even more. But you do it at your level. Don't go crazy with it. Always feel like, is this really the right amount? That's what you always to try to think about. Okay. Then in the Asian countries, Japan, no. But the others, kind of observe the locals. If you're at a Western establishment in some of the Asian areas where there are lots of tourists, lots of expats, etc., tipping is much more normalized now, even in those countries. So watch what the locals are doing. But if you're off in the middle of nowhere, they don't expect it. Okay. Then tip in cash and in the local currency. When you put the tips on the credit cards, just know that lots of times they never see the servers. It just goes to the owners of the restaurants. Give the cash tips directly to the service personnel. Next one is the service personnel, and I just said this, at the popular tourist Western owned or more expensive establishments, they tend to expect a tip, even in these non-tipping countries. And if you're unsure, go ask the maitre d' or ask the concierge at your hotel. Don't forget to tip the service personnel that are usually overlooked. Just think about, how do they make their income? How do they make their money? And am I overlooking giving them something for what they've done for me? The next one is be generous when appropriate, and then when you can. Lots of people can't do it, and really it should be part of your budget. You shouldn't ever go wild, but every now and then, like those two stories I told you, I just went wild. I didn't care. I just felt so good doing it. It was much better than buying something or anything. And I would have foregone some of the things I did just to give both of those people that money. And my tip, my last, is don't forget those $2 bills. Spread good luck tips and tokens to people who serve you on your solo travels. So those are kind of just some real basic things that I think will help you stay correct.
I have a question for you. I know that how much you appreciate concierge service, and you did a great job of explaining how to tip in your own mind. Do you base that off of the price of the hotel, or do you just do just an amount that you like to give? How do you personally handle that?
If you're in a very affluent country, you have to tip big enough to where it makes an impression. And the amount that you pay for your room is also an indication on how large the tip should be. So it really depends on where you are in the world and the value of your currency and the exchange rate, and you're putting it into their currency. It's kind of like objective and subjective in your judgment on that. But I tend to be with the concierges, like I said the first time, I tend to be like, hey, big spender. I mean,
setting the tone, right?
The big tipper, because they don't ever expect it from women. It's true. Women tip correctly, okay? They tip correctly. Men tend to tip big. And they get the best service from everybody because they are typically big tippers. Well, you don't have to go overboard if you're a woman. But if you tip that concierge big, let me tell you, the whole hotel will know that you will be generous if you are treated or your needs are taken care of. And you don't have to tip everybody big after you've done that with the concierge. But it does affect the whole quality of your experience there.
Okay, so we've gone from big. And then my second one is, there sort of used to be a rule of thumb, and I know I'll say it in dollars, but you can convert it to foreign currency too. For people who carry your bags, you do it by the bag. So if you have a bunch of bags, then the tip is higher. If you have a single bag, you tip accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, some areas it's $1 a bag. Some it's $2. Some it's between $2 and $5. Now, if you have a huge bag that weighs like a ton, $1 for that is like, I mean, keep it, lady. Keep your change. I don't need it. But if they're going overboard and they go get you water and you've got this big bag and they go get you some extra hangers and all this kind of stuff, be generous. Like I said, you never know. That might help them buy some flowers for their girlfriend or something.
It's a sort of a social lubricant to your experience there.
Oh, yeah.
See, good. Yeah. And we only had a couple of tipping tip puns there. So that's pretty good. We did all right.
Okay. Well, Catherine, that's our show really for today. And I would like to reiterate, this was just an introductory expose on tipping customs and etiquette around the world. But I know one point that I'm sure I've conveyed it is each country has their own tipping culture. And to really feel confident with your tipping practices when you're traveling is a challenge. Mm. But if you follow these broad guidelines that I've shared, you will be tipping appropriately most of the time. So, since this show will be first broadcast during the holiday season, I want to wish all my listeners and everyone celebrating the holidays joy, happy times with friends and family, and a very prosperous new year. So I'll close by saying, if you've enjoyed the show, if you benefited from the information we've shared, give us a like, give us a share, and most importantly, subscribe to Solo Travel Talk. Because when you subscribe, it pushes out the show to more people around the world so they can profit from the information and make their solo travels more stress-free and enriching. Thanks for listening and happy holidays.
We have one last tip for you, and I promise that's my last tipping pun. But Astrid has an amazing resource page on her website that really is designed to give you extra resources to plan your trip and to get the most out of your solo travels. It's very easy to find. All you have to do is go to astridtravel.com/resources. You'll find the packing list. You'll find her budgeting tool. And we know that you're going to be including gratuity in that budget. So that you got to get over there right away.
I'm going to put one of those infographics that I've seen. I'm going to put that on there, as well as probably within the next couple of months, I'm going to have a complete trip planning guide.
Wow.
For short getaways, as well as longer trips, and even around the world trips. Everything that you need to do, from the dream stage to when you get home and you basically relive your trip or make sure that you've put everything together or back in a safe place to where you can relive the wonderful memories. Okay. So I'm going to put together the most gargantuan to-do list.
Perfect.
But I think it'll be very helpful because that's really how I do it.
Yeah.
I've been a to-do lister since I was a young child, and that's very important when you travel solo, because if you forget that visa if you forget to get the travel insurance or something happens that is important, it's just like the delivery service. I didn't do that in Athens. I mean, that could have been a very bad experience, but it wasn't. But it taught me I never let that slide anymore, ever.
Those to-do lists are certainly going to be handy. I mean, that's really kind of the whole philosophy behind this show is Astrid has all this experience and we want to get you out there solo traveling. So she's sharing her resources with you. That to-do list is going to be awesome. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify. We love you, Spotify. Any fine place that podcasts can be found. Again, thank you to super listener Valerie. This should be an indication to all of you listeners. We got a great email from Valerie, and this whole show was designed to answer one of her questions. So we encourage you to come and ask Astrid questions. She's got an Ask Astrid portion of her website. Again, just go to astridtravel.com. You should find it there. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We thank you for being a member of the Solo Travel Talk family. Happy holidays to everybody. Merry Christmas. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or her solo travel advisors, visit her website, astridtravel.com.